Let's turn our attention now to our Monday, Mindful Mondays segment brought to you by Mentis. And joining us right now is the Executive Director of Mentis, Rob Weiss. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Very good to be with you again.
Yeah, thanks for being on with us. It's been an eventful weekend. A lot of people were out taking part in the March for Our Lives over the weekend. There's been yet another, I would say, heightened level of stress around the school shootings issue, the discussions around making changes to the laws. A lot of people are very much living with a furrowed brow from day to day. And that's not a new feeling for us here in Northern California with the year that we've been through with the natural disasters and other kinds of problems, and of course the shooting that took place right here just a couple of weeks ago. How are people coping with all of this stress?
Well, I think it's been very difficult, and I think it really depends to some extent on how personally you were impacted by these experiences and these traumas. But I would say that there's been a collective impact in Napa between fire and going back before that earthquake, but certainly fire and these shootings that have occurred in the community and the veterans home. I think it's certainly created a sense of people, I think, feeling unnerved, unsettled, on edge. And it's been reflected for us in certainly a lot of calls for mental health care and support. Not that everybody needs necessarily to call and seek professional help, but I think in general, since Napa is a fairly small community and we've had some really high profile and difficult events, that there is a collective impact and that just is causing a general sense of unease for people.
Does it seem to be any particular segment of the population that's more affected, more likely to pick up the phone and call? Is it older people, younger people, male, female? What are you finding there?
Well, I don't have the numbers in front of me to give a specific answer about that, but I think in general, people who have experienced traumas in the past, perhaps they haven't really been addressed or attended to, are certainly more vulnerable. I think it really just, and for many people, they're pretty resilient, and they have natural support networks and strengths that'll help them get through difficult experiences, but I think it really depends on person to person because it can play out very over a period of weeks or months how people respond to a trauma or a natural disaster. But certainly, I think when you have a collective impact, when you're dealing with multiple events that have been difficult, that makes it harder on people. And I think we're seeing some of that, and I'm hopeful that as a little time passes, people will kind of be able to restore their natural kind of normal routines and their sense of resiliency will kick in. And for many, that's true. But it I don't want to underplay. It's been hard and been a lot for a small community in a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm. There's a tendency, it feels that, I don't know, some people are more resistant, have a harder shell, and things don't get to them as much as for other people. So if you're one of those harder shell people, there may be a lot going on inside, but you don't show it. And you may be that person who says to others, well, why don't you just get over it? You know, it's been X amount of time since this thing happened. Just get over it. Get on with your life. Is that helpful for people to say that?
Well, probably not. I think if you're struggling with the emotional impact of what's occurred, I think ideally you want to be able to just share your thoughts and feelings, connect with people, and engage in your kind of normal social relationships, work relationships, and hopefully talk with people who are willing to listen and can be supportive. Like I say, sometimes professional help is very important. Sometimes it's not needed. I think it really depends on having ideally some sense of who you can share with. And I think people who have experienced something similar or, for example, most everybody in the Napa area experienced the fire. So I think it was really easy to talk about that with other neighbors and friends who know what that was like, because, you know, either directly or indirectly, most people, everybody was really impacted by that. So, yeah, I think just getting over it, while maybe not super helpful, ironically, though, very behind that, I think the essence is part of what is helpful is trying to maintain contact, relationships with people, maintain a sense of routine, exercise, do the things that help us kind of maintain our balance in life.
Mm-hmm. And maybe even to a degree of changing some of your regular habits. You know, if you're stuck in a pattern and you find yourself, you know, unhappy, maybe even if the pattern doesn't have anything to do directly with the unhappiness, try some different things?
Sure. Well, you know, when you have an experience, for it, again, I think it depends how you're impacted. But I think for people who lost their home, for example, during the fire, it's an opportunity to certainly evaluate what direction does your life want to take? Do you want to do something different? I mean, I think when you've experienced something directly that's so impactful as that, it is that opportunity to start evaluating who you are, where, how you're living your life. Do you want to do something different? I mean, it hits us all in such different ways, again, depending on our proximity to the disaster or the event. But certainly, I think it when something shocking happens, like, for example, the shootings we're dealing with, it gives, and especially if you, in a small community like Napa, if you knew the victims, it just gives you real pause. It certainly did me and many other people who work in mental health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. We're talking with Rob Weiss, who's the executive director of Mentis. It's our Mindful Mondays segment for today. There's been one thing going on here in Napa County and parts of the Bay Area and in California that is a new stressor for people. And that's the immigration raids that have been taking place. And there have been some pretty high-profile stories, including one right here in Napa of someone who had been living here for a long time, was considered kind of a pillar, had become a pillar of the community, and suddenly is arrested and deported, I assume.
Yeah.
And now it's 7:15 at our full and glorious 5,000 watts. We're back on the Mindful Monday segment. As I was saying, the ICE activity, the immigration raids, clearly if you are in the community and you know someone who is susceptible to this, this is a whole new level of strain that might be in your family, in your friend relationships, people you work with, or you could just be in, you know, internalizing what's happening to those families, and that's a whole new level of something to worry about that was not there a few months ago.
Yeah, for sure, and with good reason. I mean, this is an extremely distressing experience because for people who are most directly affected, meaning immigrants themselves, their families, obviously you have the risk of being deported or detained, which it just shatters your basic kind of worldview around you have stability in your life because that's based upon some order and predictability and you know what's going to happen. But when you have this total wild card factor, disrupts that whole sense of normalcy in a very major way because the threat is real. And I think that's important to keep in mind. There are people, for example, who deal with anxiety and they have a lot of worry. Well, so much of the worry might be about what's going to happen in the future. And that speculation and it's worry about that may or may not have a big impact in their lives. This is something different. This is a situation where your life and the people in your family's life could be majorly disrupted at any given moment, and your world could turn instantly. And that's very anxiety-provoking and difficult to live with because it's kind of the opposite of what I'm saying. We like a sense of stability and order, which based upon predictability and kind of have a sense of normalcy and routine, and that's disrupted.
Yeah. One of the undeniable facts is that people in immigrant communities, minority communities, ethnic communities, are sometimes afraid to reach out and ask for any kind of assistance, whether that's from a nonprofit or a government agency, because of uncertainty and because of not knowing who is what, and will this cause me more trouble if I make a phone call or if I go to this office? And so I would imagine that's an outreach challenge for your agency sometimes to reach the Latino community and let them know that there's help available.
It is, and I think the best solution we have is using our relationships with our Latino community and our relationships that we have with our partners, because so much of it is trust and faith and where do people feel safe. So we try and leverage the relationships with other agencies we have who work very closely with the Latino community, and we do as well. So I think the best thing we can do is really band together and try and get out accurate information, and that's the biggest thing is making sure information is accurate and people can get it so that they can really make the best decisions that they can to protect themselves and that they're informed.
Once again, our guest is Rob Weiss, the executive director of Mentis. On our Mindful Mondays segment, we're talking a little bit about the general stress level and having had such a rough year in so many ways for traumatic events here in Napa Valley, whether it's natural disasters or violence and threats of violence, or for some people, just the general level of rancor, the political discourse, the anger that's in society right now is hard to cope with. I know some people are sort of checking out from it, and others, you know, fall sort of deeper and deeper into it. And, you know, coping with all that takes some strategies, right?
It does, and I think part of it is knowing ourselves and trying to determine what's the best course that's going to help us feel more comfortable and really keep us connected and involved. So for some of us, you know, participating in a march and really expressing our views is a very empowering act because elected officials are really facing and grappling with issues right now that are so big and have such a big impact on our daily lives that it's important, I think, that people feel empowered and they have a voice. And for some, that's really helpful. And then picking up the newspaper, you can get swallowed and absorbed by the magnitude of some of the pain and the despair. So you have to know when you got to back that off, because it's just, if it becomes overwhelming and it becomes to the point where you can't really function and it's really causing depression or it's really causing you to feel the sense of just stuckness or isolation and wanting to withdraw, then you really need to take a break from it all. So I think it really depends. And honestly, Barry, I think it's, for many people, and I would say, including myself, it's somewhere in the middle. There's that sense sometimes where I really need to be active and engage and go forward. And there's other times where it just feels like it's so overwhelming to absorb any more of this traumatic news, or that you just need to step back and just do some of the things that you like to do that are nurturing and kind of fun. So I think it's that there's no individual formula for anybody. It's kind of knowing themselves. But I will say I do feel right now that certainly to the best of our ability, speaking up and lending our voice to critical issues is so important, because there's a lot going on right now and that we need to grab the attention of our elected officials.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to face up to, but to turn away from it, the outcome of that is perhaps not what we all need. You know, for the most part, people who feel isolated or lonely or cut off or disappointed in life, or, you know, go on through your litany, for the most part, folks like that suffer and largely in silence, and maybe they get help, maybe they don't, but it's a kind of a quiet suffering that goes on continually. Other people suddenly act out and become violent, or even, you know, what we'd call deranged, you know, doing things like, you know, attacking people physically. And that's a very small, tiny minority of people who are disturbed in one way or another, right? But at this stage in the game, when we have so many of these incidents happening, and then the aftermath is always, well, you know, we thought he was a little bit odd. We thought that he was a loner. We thought that maybe this kind of thing could happen from this person who was so obsessed with guns, et cetera, you know, whatever that story becomes. And then inevitably we go back and say, why didn't somebody do something? Why didn't somebody intervene? Why wasn't this person reported? Why didn't someone take their guns away? You know, what should we be as family members, friends, concerned citizens watching for, and when do you know when to take some kind of action when somebody's either despondent, maybe you think they're going to hurt themselves or you think they're going to hurt other people?
Well, that's kind of the $10,000 question,
yeah,
Barry.
I know.
Because human beings are unpredictable, and it's difficult to know, because overwhelmingly people who are agitated, distressed, or are struggling emotionally, they're not violent or dangerous. That's the real exception. The challenge, of course, is the real exception when it occurs is so damaging and the outcome can be so devastating that everybody is concerned about that, rightly so. But the question becomes, how do you try and really keep people safe and engage in policy that's really sensible, and understanding that the outliers, so essentially the outliers don't drive your whole approach to policy and practice. And it's a difficult question. And I would say this. One indicator is certainly we look for is past behavior. If people have a history of violence, certainly you want to be concerned about that going forward. And that's something you'd want to look for, or violence or aggressive behavior. That's certainly one sign that they could possibly engage in that again. This is, again, a very difficult question. I'm not familiar with any clear sort of formula to follow around how you really do a good assessment of somebody who's maybe been agitated or you've seen some odd behaviors. Might be that person who goes ahead and engages in violence. And again, you also want to be careful in my mind because you don't want to stigmatize people. And certainly people who are having mental health problems or have mental illness, by and large, they're really not dangerous. And I think that's the critical point. And most likely, the sad thing is, Barry, that people who have struggled or struggle with mental illness, if they're going to use a firearm or a weapon, it's far more likely to be used against themselves than anybody else.
Yeah.
And yet, when there is a homicide or is a high-profile shooting, it's distressing, and certainly because of the result is so devastating. So it's hard to give a specific answer because it's just a complex question.
Sure.
I think we're struggling with it collectively.
I agree. Mentis is an agency that can help people who are struggling, whether that's from some kind of traumatic event or other issues. And how can people get in touch and find out about services, and what's the best way for them to do that?
Two easy ways. You can always go to our website, which is mentisnapa.org. That's the easiest way to do it. Or you can just pick up the phone and call our intake coordinator. She's bilingual, English and Spanish, and that number is 707-255-0966, and you'll be directed through the phone tree to our intake coordinator. It's very simple. So either way, direct phone call or website.
Very good. And also on Facebook/ Mentis Napa, and there are videos there of the mental health champions in the community, our Mindful Mondays program. Thank you, Rob Weiss, Executive Director of Mentis, for being with us today. Good show.
Always a pleasure, Barry. Thanks
very
much.
Take care.